All right, we're live. So that's the beginning of the AKA 14 Guru podcast. We're doing these every Tuesday evening on the Gun Website's YouTube channel. And one of us has it running in the background, probably me. We'll shut that down. So we do these live on the Gun Website's YouTube channel. Run them for about an hour, 90 minutes, 2 hours, depending on what the topic is and how it's going. And we bring a bunch of guests in while we're live. And we'll be inviting more and more AK-related guests from our adventures with that whole AK-47 buyer's guide fiasco that happened last week, or ended last week. And once the podcast is over, it'll be a video over on the Gun Website's YouTube channel for a while, and then we'll take the audio from that and turn it into a podcast. So if you're one of those people listening to this in the future on some kind of iDevice or pad gizmo, leave us some feedback out there so we know that you're out there and we're spending our money for a reason. We don't get much feedback from those podcasts, almost none at all. I beg for some kind of feedback out there because it costs us a certain amount of money. We don't have any advertisers or anything. We're desperate for that feedback to let us know if we should continue bothering with that. Otherwise, we're going to keep doing it here on the YouTube, having a lot of fun with it, and then again over on Gun Channels, which is a website we helped build a while back, and it's a community for gun people, and we do conversations and have all kinds of interesting stuff like photographs and buyers. What do we have over there? We have a trading post. We've got the question and answer area. It's an online community, but it's focused on firearms, and we've got a pretty good bunch of people that hang out there, and a bunch of those people are in the chat this evening. So now I will introduce everybody that's joining us tonight, and then we will, I guess, welcome the audiences that are watching us out there. So starting from my left to my right, we got Biker Bob joining us from Canada.
Hey, everybody.
Did you shoot the 74 today?
I don't think I did, you know.
So I was going to say, we almost have a Canadian that shot an AK today, but he was standing next to me when I was shooting it. He held the camera Biker for Bob us. Us from while I was shooting it. Next to him, we got Heavy B, just coming in from the California. I don't know if your mic's working, but you unmuted. We didn't hear anything. Then we got Dano coming in from the Illinois. Maybe nobody's mic's working, or Dano stepped away for some ice cream. We've got Night Strike coming in from the south of the Carolinas, I think.
Present.
Remembered it this time. Thanks for the note, though. And then we got PBR coming in from the great state of Oregon.
Howdy.
Thanks for jumping in. And then we got Sean. Pennsylvania?
Hey, what's up?
No. Connecticut? Alabama. No.
I'm in Alabama.
Dang, I'm totally off on that one. All right. Then we got Wayne jumping in as well.
Oh, how'd you miss that accent, man?
All you white people look the same to me, so I can't ever keep you straight. All right, and then I'm in Arizona. So we've got a bunch of people from around. Sometimes we've got people jumping in from international locations, and like I say, we've did the AK-47 project, and it opened all kinds of doors with people that are interested in getting their stories out about the AK, so we'll be joined, not necessarily in this show, but in future shows with all kinds of personalities and celebrities from the Kalashnikov realm. But tonight, because we've been talking almost talking about nothing besides the buyer's guide project, because that was such a big thing, and I spent all the money last week on bayonets, we might as well talk about something else. So I figured this week we might as well just do an open discussion on AK. So we'll be, as I mentioned, doing this on the Gun Channels or Gun Website's YouTube channel, and we'll be watching the comments over there, and then of course the comments on the Gun Channel side. Anybody that's interested, throw some comments out there or questions out there, and we will address them. And otherwise, I don't know what other kind of AK stuff is happening. I think somebody, PBR, did you say you had something to kind of start us off with?
Give me a second. I'm trying to get something done before I join in here or jump in discussion. So go ahead and talk, and I'll bring it up later.
You got anything going on right now?
Say what?
Well, I'm asking the other guys if they have any.
I'm sorry.
Going on right now.
I'm in the market for a bayonet.
G-Webs has got $6,500 worth.
None of those are for resale, though. So those just all went into the collection, were absorbed.
Can I borrow one of the shitty ones?
No, but I'll allow you to look at all the pictures you want of them.
Well, I guess that'll have to work.
So when you processed that card out, did it say, are you really, really sure?
No, I should mention that I'm kidding because I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But I did do a show the other night where I like to do that once in a while anyway, whenever there seems to be like a lot of bayonets I want to buy. I'll usually troll eBay or whatever and find one, and then I'll be like, well, I might as well look for a second one. And then if I find a whole bunch, I close the cart down because I can't afford them anymore. And it was one of those nights. We were doing I think we were ending the buyer's guide thing, and we were just BSing in a chat like this and started looking, and I was like, wow, there's an amazing variety. It would be a really cool collection. So we just spent, I guess, 15, 20 minutes the other night going through and collecting all the bayonets that were on eBay and putting them into a cart, and I think it came out to like $2,700 or something only.
Yeah.
And, man, was it a neat collection, something like 9 countries and just pretty much everything except a Chinese spike. And we didn't really, everybody was getting mad. They didn't want it to go over an hour, so we didn't spend all night looking for Chinese spikes, but I think we came up with a pretty decent collection. But anyway, I was all, just in theory, I wouldn't spend a bunch of money collected for one thing on something else, so we're a little bit too early to start talking about results of all that, but definitely we just had a two, three-hour-long meeting, I think, of people that are going to be helping with the technical end and whatnot and strategy and whatnot, and then we should have something up by next week. I don't want to guarantee anything, but that's the goal, is to have it up and running by next week. So I just said we don't want to talk about it, but I guess I give you a little bit of a sit rep, but mainly because I didn't want anybody to have the misconception that I just spent all the money on bayonets. What kind of bayonet are you looking for?
Yeah, that was my question.
I was just looking for, you know, just like a cheap AK-47 bayonet.
Well, that...
No, they're all cheap. That's the good news. You can get a Romanian, probably the cheapest. Every once in a while, you'll find something in the $7 to $10 range that's not in the best condition, but you can get something in really, really nice condition under $20 for sure, most of the time under $15. It's pretty inexpensive.
Like what kind of AK do you own?
I don't own an AK yet. That's why.
It's kind of like saying, I want a car.
How much do you say you want to spend?
Probably nothing more than $30.
All right, I'll give you a link in the side chat.
Yeah, almost sky's the limit. Just pick a kind that you like the looks of, and then you can find one for that one.
Because I'm going to build an AK, and I want, even if it doesn't fit, I can, you know, jury-rig something.
I'm pretty sure you could build a bayonet, too.
Yeah, I could, probably.
Best AK builders start with a bayonet. That is really the place you want to start from, and then build the gun around it.
You're not
right.
I guess, will they all go? I know the last couple generations will go between each other. I've never tried to stick. I don't think the original ones won't go on any other rifle, but the original AK-47.
Right, AK-47 is like the dagger style, and it has a different attachment point to an AKM or an AK-74. But some of the first type ones with the bulbous Bakelite grips, right? Their channel, although it will fit, and it will fit, it's difficult sometimes. And a lot of times, if someone was issued the bulbous kind of handle with an AKM, then or an AK-74 or something that had a muzzle device, they might have gone in and whittled out the channel a little bit, because basically there's just a little bit of a tightness sometimes. They will all fit, but sometimes they're a little tight with the Bakelite.
It all depends on what I have a bunch of links saved, so if you have a preference, I just put one in the side chat for $20, but I have a bunch of the links saved, all different types, like that I haven't bought yet or I'm looking at buying, and most of them are inexpensive. The one I wouldn't, you know, I have some expensive stuff saved, but I, you know, you don't need that shit. There's also
Is that an actual Bakelite, or is that just a plastic that looks like Bakelite?
It's the one in my photo on my that I have.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, it kind of looks like Bakelite, yeah, a little bit.
I'm wondering if are the mags actual Bakelite, or are those like polymer that are...
No, that's Bakelite. Those are RPK-74 mags I have.
Nice. Aren't you Instagram famous yet? What the hell?
Because I don't have enough crap. or time to take photos of.
If you don't have enough cool stuff to be on Instagram, supplement it with boobs.
Yeah, there you go.
Just put one or two items up there that are really good and put it in black and white. That's what I did. I got like a few hundred hits on this picture that I did black and white, the color version of it, which looks a lot better, only got like 10. So there's something to be said about people say don't use filters. Yeah. Use the black and white.
Yeah, but I can't really show how awesome the marble like that. I just got this one, and it would be hard to show in black and white how great that marbling is on this bayonet. Like, and honestly, this photo doesn't even do it justice. It's like, out of all my Bakelite stuff I've collected over the years, this thing is like beautiful. Like, I wish I had a bowling ball that looked like that.
So was that also from that shop you linked me?
Yep.
You know about rubbing mineral oil into them?
No. Does that do good stuff or bad stuff?
Well, the magazine perverts will take and rub mineral oil all into their Bakelite so they can fantasize about their swirls more. I don't know very many bayonet people that lower themselves to that, but some people...
I'm not going to do that kind of shit. It is what it is. I only have so many Bakelite magazines, too. I don't want to F any of them up. And honestly, I just took this photo today because A, I got that they mailed me that bayonet in like days. It was amazing how fast it showed up my house. And I took that photo. Oh, my photo's gone. I took that photo also just to rub it in Moon's face because he's looking for 74 AK-74 mags. But I'm trying to find, there's a, I actually kind of want G-Webs to look at this too and tell me if it's worthwhile, but there's a link to like a, you can get like 3 bayonets for like, it's like a package deal.
That one on eBay for like 150?
No, it's on a website. I'm trying to figure out where it is in my links. That's not right. I'll continue the discussion without me until I find it.
Hey, Bob, why don't you tell us about VZ-58?
You mean the Superior made after the AK-type weapon?
Line up,
like
line
I was
up.
Saying, I'm AK ignorant. What exactly is Bakelite? I mean, is it like a polymer? Is it
it's like an early polymer plastic.
It's a polythonic resin with embedded linen usually. So if you think of like back in the old days, the telephones that were black, that were dialed, or even the telephones that you held up to your ear and then you had the thing on the wall that didn't leave the wall, those were the plastic part of that. Wasn't really plastic, that was probably Bakelite. And then
that's
those
great plastic,
like desk phones from like the old days.
It's also highly heat resistant, so like distributor caps used to be made out of them on cars and stuff like that.
Bobbins industrial looms used to use Bakelite.
Yeah, really.
Wearing stuff.
Yeah, like really desk fans.
Very cool. Thank you.
The drawback is it can be toxic after it starts to break down.
Yeah, it's
a little fragile.
Well, yeah, if it breaks down, maybe. It's strong. But the Russians did it with, like, their linen or whatever, the stuff they put on the inside, and then whatever, red and clear. So, like, ours would be, like, black, solid, opaque, and theirs looks like some kind of crazy tie-dyed thing. Or wood green, almost.
Yeah, they weren't able to get the mixture correct to do black. And that's why you have, like, a transition over time of this, like, the orange to the plum, and then finally to the black, when they were able to perfect the ability to make black plastic.
I always thought they intended to do it that way so that it looked more like wood. I never knew it was so.
I don't know about the orange, but I know the plum. I was told, and I could have been misinformed, but I was told that was the reason for the plum. I don't know about the orange. But it makes sense if you think about it, because why else would you have bright orange magazines? And
it just sounds weird, though, because, I mean, Bakelite's been around forever. It's not like it was anything secret or anything. It was...
Yeah, I guess I haven't paid too much attention, but I don't think they were unable to do it for three decades or whatever. I think they're right about the purple and black or whatever, but that's just because they didn't know what they were doing and they faded or something. But I don't think the orange was a 30-year struggle to turn it black. I think they started out black. Or, I mean...
Maybe it was just cheaper that way, because there's...
That's what I was going to say. I think
the stuff that's used, like in industrial looms, the bobbins, they used to make those out of Bakelite, and they're kind of an orange, marbly color, like kind of like that that bayonet sheath there, and that's because they're cheap to make it that way.
Right,
you're not getting the consistency. It's just cheap.
I think back in the day, you would have had to add like dye or whatever to make it black, and they just didn't. What do they care? They're just their magazines. They didn't care.
I've got a desk fan from the 20s that has a Bakelite blade, and it's black. So I would assume they would be able to do that if they really wanted to. But
it has a lot to do about cost, too.
Yeah, monetary.
Yeah, because they've been making Bakelite since way back, and it was black if they wanted it to be. But, yeah, for cheaper, when they use it for insulation and electrical components, it was generally whatever color it came out. So lots of times it was orange or brown.
Yeah, but after World War II, they weren't exactly in a really good, they weren't, they had Russia had problems after World War II. Here's that link to the three of them for $170. Seems like a lot, but the one on the left tends to go between $50 and $90. So,
dude, what the hell is this, a joke with like their enlarge the picture thing? It's the exact same size as the other one.
Yeah, I know.
So I had to pull it over to it. How do you say that one on the left goes for $80?
The Type 3?
Type 3, so it's a Russian 74. But I don't know. I don't think it's worth over $100. The one in the middle has a German frog on it, I think. Unless it's just the color. But they're saying those are... Well, they're not all. That one's a German, so... They're saying that that's a... What do they say?
Says a Bulgarian... two Bulgarians and a German. German's on the far right.
Oh, hell no. No. Definitely don't buy that. That's a $40 bayonet and a $40 bayonet and a $40 bayonet, maybe.
Well, they don't... You can't get the new generation... You can get them. I've seen them at one place for $50, and they're already sold out. So now, if you go on eBay, that far left bayonet is selling for between $70 and $100.
So the East German stuff isn't going for that much. I would assume that stuff would be kind of drying up by this point.
Not really. It's usually the stuff that people are trying... I've noticed, personally, is the stuff that people are trying to get to stick on their rifles that they own. You know, like... So you got a lot of, like, 100 series and 74s running around, so guys are trying to get the bayonets to match their rifles, and that's...
I guess
there's not a lot of East German AKs kicking around. Usually the only people that are buying those are people that are trying to collect bayonets.
Well, yeah, or just buying it because it looks cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of, like, AK-47M variants, are there that many East German ones around? Those kind of interest me a bit.
No. They never imported them.
Right. The only things we have is parts kits rebuilt. And then I think IO imported some, or somebody imported some thing. I don't know if it was just the 22s or 22s and some other things, but... For the most part, now we don't have German samples here at all. Unless you know, Nazis.
Well, I never got to the point where they would have, where they had 74s issued, right? It was all AK-47s for them, correct?
German?
Yeah, East German.
Let's get out the clubs in the AK identification deck. No, they had 74s. an MPIKS-74 or something like that.
So, all right, so earlier today we got in a discussion, well, not really, it wasn't really a discussion, but we were talking about range magazines and people buying, like, Tapco mags just to use at the range.
That's a good topic, I guess.
And, yeah, I can't think of
Dutton Fancy loves them.
Well, he's a fucking idiot. No. he's not an idiot. I shouldn't say that. But the idea of a range, unless you get it for free, but even then, like, I'll trade, like, if I get something like that, like, I buy a rifle and it comes with a Tapco, I'll sell it or I'll trade it and get something better. And the idea of a range-only magazine never made sense to me, just because you're spending, especially with
AK. Yeah, if you're going to spend 75%, if you're going to save 25% on your magazine, you're paying for 75% of a worthless magazine.
Well, when it comes to ARs and like 7.62x39, like AK-47 variants, it doesn't make any sense because it's 10 to 12. I'm just going to say, I don't know how much a Tapco mag is, but I'm assuming around $10 to $14. Am I wrong?
That's how much a mag bullet is, right?
Yeah. I don't know how much. Or
$8. Like $20.
For Tapco?
No, they're cheaper. They're only like a...
Yeah, they're cheaper than that. I'm going to say you were probably right there, PBR.
$10?
I'd say 9 to 11, right? I'm paying more than
that. Probably, yeah.
I'm going to round it out to 10. For an AR-15, for $10, you can get brand new, like USGI, like, non-tilt follower, like, with, like, the fancy new springs. You can get those for $10 all day long, made by the manufacturers that produces them for the military. And you can spend a little more and get a PMAG. Like, AK-47, there are, like, $10. You can get Polish, right now on AIM Surplus, you can get Polish 47 mags that are, they've been painted, they've been, like, refurbished, I guess. But I bought a few of them, and they're all good. A couple dents, a couple dings, but they all fed, and they're all in really good condition. So that, like, that doesn't make any sense to me, why you'd buy anything less than
Surplus than, mags
than,
or something.
Like, than high-quality mags, when high-quality mags on average are maybe $1 more, maybe $2 more, at the most, like, $3 to $4 more. But when it comes to AK-74, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what about Chinese AK mags? I mean, they're generally super cheap. But I've always been under the impression AK mags is, you know, as long as you get steel, they're good.
I haven't messed with any that weren't actually made for a Norinco, like, back in the 90s. And I haven't touched those Korean ones, because at the same time, why would I even want to risk it when I can get Polish, Yugoslavian, Hungarian magazines all day long for the same price, you know? Or around the same price.
I have had to replace a couple of the springs in mine, but...
In Surplus?
Yeah, because a couple of them were weak.
Oh, yeah, Surplus. That's the problem with Surplus, is you gotta buy them, you pull them apart, you make sure because you gotta look inside. They could look fine on the outside, but on the inside... I mean, I bought a magazine and opened it up, and there's like a half inch of dirt in the bottom of it. You know, it's like, sometimes you gotta pull them apart and clean them out and give them a little love. But you're still gonna have overall, like, you're not gonna have a feed lip break or locking lug break off of a Polish.
Yeah, exactly. Steel
mill Surplus magazine like a Tapco will. And like for AK-74s, that's where you run into, like, that's when you actually get into a value versus function issue, because cheapest I've found AK-74 mags right now currently are $25 a piece for Bulgarian military magazines, and the Tapcos I'm sure are like $10 or something like that. So but at the same time, like eventually, especially in today's like political, like, climate all around the world, I haven't seen 74 magazines come in the U.S. in a long time, and I'm sure it's because they're getting soaked up into the Ukraine and other areas that are having, you know, fighting going on. They're not making it into the U.S. like they used to be. And so, like, those magazines, A, are only going to get more expensive with time, and B, they might dry up altogether. So why wouldn't you just buy the good shit and forego the like all the junk that's out there? And there's a lot of junk for the AK-74. I think there's more junk magazines for that rifle than there are any other rifle out there right now.
No. 47. But I don't disagree with anything you just said there. I'm just going to add to it. What do you buy magazines for? What are we buying guns for? Do we buy guns strictly for putting on the wall and they're just there for collection? In which case, why would you buy a TAPCO? Because you're going to buy the actual magazine for it. So you're not buying it for collecting. Are you buying it for just taking it to the range and recreation? I guess potentially that would be your only reason to buy one of those. If you're taking it to do any kind of competition, why would you buy something that could potentially fail? It could have a bottom fallout. It could have a feed lip break, and you're on the clock, and you know moments, fractions of a second it matter. Why handicap yourself? But I think most of us are buying firearms for the investment, as you mentioned briefly, and for the investment in the protection of our homes, ourselves, and our communities, right? So if you're talking about buying it for the potential bad things that might happen, that a firearm might be a necessary tool to deal with, then why would you buy garbage? You know, again, if you're going to spend $10 on the stuff that the Soviet Union and in the various countries that the Warsaw Pact spent so much money creating that they went out of business and capitalism took them to their knees, why wouldn't we use the crumbles of that, which are designed to literally kill us, for $10? There's only a finite amount, even though they made a bunch of them. There's only a finite amount of those, and those are made out of their steel and their labor and their sweat and their blood. And now we can get them for almost nothing. We're going to be able to get Korean mags forever. They exist, and they're going to be around forever. So we can always go pick them up later. TAPCO ain't going to forget how to make mags. We can pick them up anytime. So number one, why buy 75 for, you know, if you're going to buy them for $10 from the factories and you're going to pay $7, let's say, why would you pay $7 worth of garbage? It's not compatible with your $10 one. So you're going to go, okay, I'm buying my gun for some unforeseeable future where I might need my firearm, and I'm going to have these mags to practice with. So now I've manipulated with these stupid ridges, and I can't get them out of my gear or whatever the issues are when you're not using your actual stuff that you're going to go to war with. And now you're going to war with a handicap where half the mags you invested in you can't use. You can't take a follower or a floor plate or anything off of them to repair the mags that you're going to go to war with. It's ridiculous. So I'm going to challenge anybody. If you're thinking you're saving any money, you're not. You're just investing in your downfall later if you ever actually need those things. So rape the Cold War for what it's worth. You take those rewards of the Cold War and use them.
Or why would you like go to the range? Like, if you're going to the why do you go to the range not to practice your marksmanship? And if you're going to practice your marksmanship, why wouldn't you want to be practicing with the stuff that you actually are going to use, all of it, even down to the magazine? Because you want to make sure your good magazines work correctly. So why wouldn't you just be using them at the range?
You know, for sure. These are magazines designed to be repaired. Like, unlike ours, these were magazines they overbuilt so that they could repair them. They sent repair tools out with the armorers.
Yeah, and if you, like, so why wouldn't you be using your go-to-war, your real-life stuff at the range when you're at the range practicing your marksmanship anyway? Like, I don't go to the range not to, it's all practice no matter what you're doing, so why not use your good stuff to practice? Or just this, not even, I don't even know if good is the right word. Why wouldn't you want to use your tried and true stuff to practice your marksmanship with? And if you need, like, you know, if you need, like, something that you can get down and, like, do a nice bench rush shoot, why not use the freaking 10-round magazine that comes with it that's is better built than any TAPCO 30 or 20-round mag? Or all those counterfeit Bulgarian mags that are everywhere. Like, and that's a thing. Like, if you're looking for 74 mags, you need to make sure that you're buying actual military ones and not the counterfeit ones that are also made in Bulgaria that are like, they're like Tapco on, and there's also Polish ones too. They're like Tapco on a bad day. They're such junk.
I have a bunch. You can tell because they have a white sticker that says made in Bulgaria on them that you have to peel off that the other ones don't have.
I mean, yeah, there's no Arsenal mark on them. They'll say made in Bulgaria. There won't be a circle 10 or a circle, I don't know all the Bulgarian Arsenal stamps, but there's a whole bunch of them.
And most of them, I think, the CDNN is a big supplier to America of those kind of mags. I see them all the time.
And they list them as military mags, and they are, I think they, well, I don't know if they still do, but at one time they had them listed as military mags, and they are not military magazines.
Yeah, I bought, when I didn't know a lot, I bought a lot of those. Not a lot, but you know, I bought a bunch. And I soon found out, like, okay, stop buying those. That's not exactly top quality.
That there is another technically, I guess, legitimate reason to have U.S. ones. I'll just leave it at U.S. is for 922R. I didn't think about that. So yeah. 922R could be potentially an issue for some people.
But you can also get the floor plates and the followers that are U.S. and retain your spring and your magazine body. And
or we could get everybody together this year to not only defeat Bloomberg and Hillary, but also to learn how to work together so that we can effort towards removing the sporting use clause, which is the only thing that supports 922R, so then we could have our magazines and eat them too.
That'd be cool.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah, and U.S. POM, and I don't, U.S. POM, I don't know. There are some American magazines that are like, me, I don't know about U.S. POM. I wouldn't recommend their magazines.
I want to like POM mags, but it's hard to like something that you can't take apart and that have their Gen 1 issues.
Yeah, and same with the Magpul AK mags. I didn't have very good luck with the one I got. I haven't got any of the steel reinforced ones because right now the price is the same or more than a Bakelite or a couple Polish steel mags. So why would I bother? Why would I bother with a Magpul when I can buy other stuff that's as good or better?
Is the Magpul with the steel feed lips out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mac just put out a video of him breaking one about, I don't know, earlier this week or last week. He pretty much broke it right out of the box. So, I don't know. I'm on the fence about those still.
About which?
The Magpul reinforced.
Was he doing push-ups on it, or how did he break it?
He banged it against something, and it stayed in the mag. It stayed in the rifle. And it fed, but all he had to do is like tap it, and it would fall out of the rifle.
Well, it wasn't even the feed lips that were reinforced. I know a regular guy did his, and he dropped it on carpet and busted it, you know, right across the feed lips for the MOE, I think, the supposedly better one.
Yeah, if you ever look at like how the Bulgarians make their Circle 10 waffle mags, those things are like, they're not just reinforced. They have a metal skeleton that runs throughout almost the whole magazine. So it's not just like a metal tab up front and in the back. It's like
embedded or whatever. It's like a Glock mag of AK mags.
I don't know. I'm not trying to bash Tapco because, I mean, if you're on a budget and that's what you can afford, then go for it. But, I mean, there's going to be a time and when you're not going to be able to get, or there could be, and it's way likely that there's going to be a time when you're not going to be able, these magazines, A, are either going to dry up because the supply is gone, or B, shit's going to get shut down, and then that's it. And you're going to sit there with your Tapco magazines that are, over, you know, a period of time are starting to break down and go to shit, you're going to be wishing you had better mags that, you know, or even for just, like, cool factor.
Or a VZ-58.
Oh. Did it just get all, like, Canadian bacon in here, or is it just me?
Jeez, Bob.
one more reason the VZ58 will never succeed, because it doesn't use the same mags.
Yeah, they're proprietary.
I'm really just saying Moon's a they're jerk. Check. That's really what I'm trying to say. And he's too scared to come in here.
Although you don't get the VZ58 and 223 that uses the AR mags.
Touching on the mags again, it's that plastic tab that any plastic magazine will never be as good as a metallic magazine if the lockup is made out of plastic.
The lug? Exactly.
Yes, the lug, the plastic lug.
Especially when that's what anchors it to the rifle and it's necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And strigonometry.
The only ones I've heard that may be good are the Polish AK, let me preface this. They're the 5.56 Polish clear AK mags, not any of the other ones. And they're specifically, because there are Polish, and I think there's Bulgarian clear magazines out there that are like knockoffs, and then there's the ones the military uses. And the ones the military use are in 5.56 because the barrel is in 5.56. And I've heard, but I don't know this by anything, but some guy from their factory talking about how they had figured out how to make the crap they use in their magazines hold up like as good as anything else. So,
well, I think a lot of the issue with Magpul isn't so much the non-reinforcement as the fact that they're trying to build it like an AR mag, and it's in there really, really, really tight. So just slamming it just a little bit actually puts a lot of pressure on the feed lips and snaps it.
Well, the geometry of the 47 versus the 74 versus 5.56 AKs, there's a lot more stress out hanging out there with the and weight with the AK-47 style rifles than there is with the 74 and the 5.56 variants. And I think that's why the Polish make a completely plastic magazine work, because the magazine doesn't have the same geometry because of the bullet. And it doesn't have to hang out there as far.
Yeah, a lot of just the mentality of, you know, like the, you know, if you came from ARs, then you don't expect the AK, you know, mag wobble, which is normal. And they basically got it in there so tight that it doesn't have wobble, but then you have where it's putting a lot more strain on the actual magazine.
Especially if you have the magazine resting on the ground.
So this Polish magazine, does it have a plastic lug?
Yeah, it's completely plastic. They're like a green translucent, but they're for the barrel.
They're a little different, but they're not plastic. They're fancy polymerish stuff that's super strong or whatever.
Yeah, the Radom factory claimed to figure it out. So if that rifle does show up and they start shipping with those magazines, I guess we'll be able to find out for ourselves if it's true. I hope so, because I want that rifle bad.
Well, I'm going to jump backwards a bit to when you guys were talking about a 74 version of a German. So the AKID cards have Germans for the clubs, and the 6 and 7 the clubs are the MPI AKS 74N, and then the MPI AKS 74NK, which is their version of a crank, basically a shorter barrel one. They definitely did not make a lot of them, but they did exist. So just to clarify that, AK playing cards saved the day once again. You can get an AK bar.
I didn't have my three packs handy.
Somebody wants a Canic to make a AK in the chat. Hopefully it's single action only with a decocker lever, striker fired.
All right, I don't know where to go from there.
So, speaking of AKs, okay, for like, what's a good, like if somebody was trying to get an AK, a functional AK to shoot and have fun with, but still wants to go traditional, like get an imported one or whatever, what would be a good starter AK for somebody that's not new?
I hear you. It's a good question. It happens. It comes up a lot, and I'm going to answer it the way I'm going to answer it from the building up resource to answer it. But they're, if you took all the AR-15s and M-16s and all the FALs and all the other black rifles that have been made since the 70s and put them together in a big giant pile someplace on the planet, and then you took all the AKs and did the same thing, the AKs would be like four times larger. There's way more AKs than there are any other type of firearm on the planet, as far as I'm aware. They're still being made, so they're still adding to that multitude of variation. So pick a Wasser. Wassers have been made since the early 2000s. I can remember seeing them as an option like in 2005 or 6. And if I would have bought one in 2005 or 6 when I was probably still paying under $99 for 1,000 rounds of 7.62x39, and I took that thing out like I did my Mac 90s and made them into smoothbores by just dropping thousands of rounds, playing bump firing and just having fun in the desert, that Wasser being on the shelf today would not be something I'd say just buy any Wasser off the shelf and you're good to go. There were Wassers with trigger slap for a little while. People didn't like them. There were Wassers, all Wassers come in with a 10-round magazine well and are opened. For some time, they weren't doing that very well, so they had wobble. There were lots of issues over the years because that particular gun's been made for a long time. But now let's switch to a totally different gun, a Yugo M70 AB2, the underfolder version of a Yugo M70 with the night sights. You could get that brand new off the rack from the factory in what, Croatia or Serbia or whatever it's called now, and it would be a great gun. You can get one from years ago off the Yugoslavian factory that I ever imported, and it would have been a great gun. I got one that I've shown in videos plenty of times. It's a parts kit somebody built in their garage on an off day. It operates, but it is not a good gun, and I would never recommend to someone, here's what is a good gun, go buy it, unless I'm talking about a Ruger 10/22 or a Glock 19 or something else that's got a much more limited variety and I can send someone to a specific model. And if I can send someone to something that's being made off the rack, you know, that's a different situation than a Glock 19 or 17, let's say, that's been, you know, imported in 1984 and shot by seven different police departments. So to answer the question, I would require what's available to you. So back in the days of the forums, without being able to explain all that like I just did, I would say what is available to you. In other words, I have a lot of information and I'm more than happy to offer it to you so that you can make a wise choice, but tell me what's available to you. I'd say, you know, I'd say, what guns were you looking at the shop specifically? What online sources are you looking at specifically? So if I would say, if you really want a good answer to that question, bring me three. And we can talk about which of those three is your best option, because I don't feel that could give you a good answer because there's too much variety out there and there's just too much option. I would feel bad if you went out and bought a Wasser based on my recommendation of a vague-ass answer like Wasser. And like I say, you bought one that was a decade old that has a smooth bore from tens of thousands of rounds being shot through it.
And how much money? That's the other thing.
For me, I'm stuck out here in California, as everybody knows. So I'm limited to what is allowed to be sold out here, which is Century Arms, pretty much, is what you see out here. Maybe some DDIs, and you might get an Arsenal. But I was looking to go maybe like an actual Comblock weapon that may have been imported at an earlier date or whatever. So that's kind of why I asked. So now I'll just have to do more research and come back to you.
Like I say, we're going to be building this resource, and obviously a big section of it is going to be compliancy. So they put up these horrible infringements on your freedom, and all you can do to be law-abiding is comply with their horrible infringements. So, yeah, there's only going to be X amount available to you. If I understand it correctly, in order to sell a gun in California, the manufacturer has to offer not only the gun but some money to the state of California to do the whatever stupid, ridiculous safety tests they're going to do on it. Once it passes all those safety tests, they're deemed with the permit to be able to sell the firearm, or is that just pistols?
That doesn't apply to used guns, and people can move to California and bring anything they want in that was in their collection, and as long as they register it within 30 days, they should be good to go. And then they can sell them as used guns, and usually they get a premium. So say I move to California next week, and then I register my guns, and then I want to sell them used. If it's something that's not on the list, like say an HK or something, I don't know, whatever it is, I think Gen 4 Glocks are still not on the list.
Yep.
I can sell mine on the used market there, you know, and it'll get a premium. But, you know, for you, I know Atlantic Firearms, they have California bullet buttons and doing these single shot mods. That California stuff, I'm almost 90% sure the bullet button is still a thing. They haven't gotten rid of it yet. So if you want to buy something and have the bullet button installed and have it sent to you, I'm almost positive it's still a go. But it won't last long. Like, that's something that's going away very quickly. And the used market, anything used that was in California from before 94 or even, like, say, 2000, I don't know. I'm, you know, that's still good to go. Like, all that used stuff the before the list and the, like you have said, companies have to pay for testing, or they have to pay the state of California to test their product. And it's an exorbitant amount of money, and then some of these gun companies are done doing it. They just won't do it anymore. And you know, so you can research it. I think it's something to do with a drop test or some shit.
Well, it's California exporting them to sell their guns out here because they don't just charge you for one model. So you're making it's Glock and it's a Glock 19. They don't just charge you for. Well, I guess that's a bad example. The Ruger SR9, and then it comes in like. The what is it, their SR, not their generic 9mm, the 9E or whatever it was, they charge for each individual variant of that model. And then now, since Arnold signed it in back in 2007, anything new production that is to be sold has to have micro stamping, magazine disconnects, a frame safety, and a loaded chamber indicator.
Well, Jesus. If you can...
That's
are you a member of Cal Guns? The forum, the big forum out there, Cal Guns?
I'm on their website, but I'm a member of the NRA right now.
Okay, no, you don't have... I don't think you have to pay or anything, but if you get on the Cal Guns website, they have a used section, and I'm sure you could meet up with tons of people from California that have a bunch of cool guns that they either moved into the state with or they were just bought before the SHTF. Is that the abbreviation?
So if you
stuff out there.
And you know, if you can, there's nothing wrong with SKS too. I mean, it's not an AK, but
yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Same round.
To me, at the last time I was in the lobby on the first chat, it was pointed out to me that, and in the lobby chat later, that yeah, the SKS was not an AK, or nowhere near, it wasn't even related to the AK. It was kind of like a bastardized stepbrother of the AK. So,
I would say cousin, but whatever.
Yeah,
I sold my last. I sold an arsenal like last year to somebody in Cali. No problemo, because their FFL installed the bullet button before the transfer. So, I mean, you know, my FFL talked to his FFL. Everything was legitimate. So, I mean, there's the bullet button is still a thing. So, and you can get on GunBroker and or call Atlantic, any of their newer stuff. I mean, just check it out, because that bullet button stuff is going the way of the dodo bird. I'm telling you. Like, it's not going to last long. So, they're hip to it.
I'm in the process of getting ready to move to Vegas anyway, so like, I'll be in Vegas by May, so I may just hold off on buying a new gun.
You can walk to K-Bar and get yourself an arsenal then, or drive.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, if you're moving to Vegas, I wouldn't worry about buying anything new.
Yeah, I'd save your money till you get there.
Well, I mean, yeah, buy an arsenal in that case, because for the money, it's good. You're not gonna. In this current climate with what's available, unless you're going to buy like a Krebs or a freaking Definitive Arms or, you know, Rifle Dynamics or something, I don't think you can do much better.
Right on.
But, I'll just mention that K-Bar doesn't have like a storefront or anything, so they don't have like a. They don't have like a place where you can check out their stuff in Vegas. There's shops that carry their lines, but not. They don't have like their own, what do you call it, pro shop or anything.
I see. There's nothing wrong with an SKS, so if you're in California and you don't want to fuck around with a bullet button and you want to buy something that's legal, I'm sure SKSs are still legal there.
Yeah, they're running for about $350, $400.
I can shoot one of those as good as I can shoot. Well, yeah. I think I can shoot one of those as good as I can shoot an AK. I mean,
I would hope so.
I shoot SKSs.
They're a lot more accurate rifle.
Yeah, I've actually had better accuracy with an SKS than I have with an AK for some reason.
And if you learn to use a stripper clip properly, it is very quick.
I agree with Bob for once in my life. Probably the last time too.
Yeah. Mark it down.
Make sure that's documented.
Armageddon's about to happen.
Just going to put it in perspective, they're saying the YouTube side of the SKS was around a long time before the AK-47. The 7.62x39 was developed in 43, the SKS. Well, actually, then the RPD came out in 44, I think, and then the SKS in 45 and the 47 in 47. So there was a four-year difference between the bullet and the AK-47, and the SKS is right in the middle. So I don't know if anybody would consider that a long time before. It did predate it, but not by much. And then it was... what quit being used in like 50s.
Yeah, well, it's one of the reasons the SKS had just a short lifespan as a military rifle or as a major military rifle was the AK-47 came along shortly afterwards and that completely just pushed it into the background.
It went but then it ended up in the hands of like Viet Cong and it ended up in a lot of other places,
Yeah, very useful.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
Just not long life in the military. In the
if somebody dropped on my lap and was like, here, this is all you get, I'd be like, all right, that's cool, could be worse. Unless it has a TAPCO mag.
What was that?
I said, unless it has a TAPCO mag in it, then I'm going to be pissed.
I make sure I won't send you any TAPCO mags then.
So then we'll do the Daily Badge giveaway, but because it's the AK podcast, we'll do it for a set of three spam can patches, and we'll do it on both the Gun Channel side and the YouTube side tonight. So six patches will go out to two people, and the first one to come up with the current number of backers over on the project. So you only have to know what I'm talking about and then know how to navigate yourself to there, and then you'll have to know where to claim that number, and then you'll have to post it into the chat, and if you can do all those tasks, then you'll get a set of the patches headed your way. And we'll just stick around long enough to allow everyone to have the time to figure that out and post their answers there, and we'll come up with the winners, and then we'll end the show. So since we're getting that close to the end, anybody else have anything? I know this was kind of a free-form show, but any other topics you wanted to bring up that came up that we didn't get to? Or anything that you want to plug that's coming up that you're aware of?
I just have a general question. I've been noticing, and I just want to see if it's just me, that we seem to be getting a lot less spam cans generally available. They're still out there, but just generally. Does anybody else notice that?
Yeah. I've noticed it a lot.
7.62x39 spam cans?
Yes, definitely. They were made for the wars, right? For the Cold War or whatever. And without that, they don't need to make as much military production. I'm assuming they make a lot of commercial production, and there's just not a need to package it in such an expensive way, right? So that's why I think we're seeing more and more cardboard boxes and stuff than...
Unfortunately.
It's Andy on the YouTube side. Well done. And thanks for being one of the first contributors, too, by the way. And then Alex over on the Gun Channel side. Threw the links in there to the Daily Patch giveaway, which is just a page over on Gun Channels where we have a... Actually, if you guys wait maybe an hour, I will go take a current picture. If you care, there's a couple of patches that have changed or whatever, been added and that kind of thing. Otherwise, it's just a picture of a patch panel that has been accumulated from a bunch of people who participate on gun channels and people that we've met along the way. Marco runs our Instagram channel, and he met a whole bunch of people at SHOT Show, and they gave him big handfuls of patches to add to the panel. So what we do is every time there's a live chat that is on the gun channels, we try to encourage them to do a giveaway like this. So the people that won tonight by going over and grabbing the correct number from our Kickstarter thing, or I guess it was an Indiegogo thing, are heading over to that page of gun channels, and they'll pick a patch, and then we'll send it out to them. So it's a way that we can say thanks for participating. That's the whole fun of this thing. I've been doing this for a long, long time now. I really dig the online stuff, the live interaction, and just making cool stuff on the internet, and the audience is making that possible in more ways than one. So I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. You guys in the room here, thanks for participating and making it was it just an hour? It flew by. And then all the people that might be listening to this in the future, like I say, if you listen to this on the iTunes or the Stitcher Radio or wherever, give us some feedback wherever you happen to see it so that we know you're out there. Night Strike, are you still going to do Crash and Burn tonight?
Hit or miss? No, I'm thinking I might do it sometime this weekend if I do.
All right, well, we're probably going to run head-to-head into this at some point, so we'll probably have to talk with Big Gunner and you and me and figure out how we're going to do it. I don't mind doing mine early or late, honestly. I really don't care one way or the other as long as we can all figure it out so we're not clashing with each other's schedules. And then I guess we'll talk again next week. We're going to start doing the AK podcast at least once a week. Like I say, we'll have some famous guests or whatever, I guess you could say, scheduled up here. And then so we're trying to get the show on a more regular, consistent basis so they can join us. And then we'll be doing the I Hate Guns podcast some other time, and I don't know when to do that, Friday or Saturday, or I don't know. We'll figure out when to do that one. So stay tuned for more of those as well. And until next time.